sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. I was blind, but now I see. And 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious day that grace appeared. Oh, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already gone. Oh, 'tis grace that bore me safe thus far, when grace will lead me home. Oh, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shine.
Praise God, we praise God, praise God, amen. Praise God, praise God, amen. We praise God, praise God, we praise
God. Praise God. We praise God. Praise God. Amen. We praise God. Praise God. Amen. We praise God. Praise God. We praise. Praise God, amen.
Amen. How many want to praise him this morning? If you really don't feel like praising him, just consider the condition you are, you know. Just imagine someone who was sentenced to death in a prison. Amen. and it was going to be shot the next morning. But he just realized that the king or whoever has just signed his pardon, you know, and he'll be set free the next morning, the very time he was supposed to be shot dead. Just imagine that person when he sees the king. Amen. Because sometimes we don't consider exactly what we need to praise God for. But just consider that Barabbas. Can you imagine Barabbas? How he could be thankful to Pontius Pilate. He could even worship him. Amen. Nobody could push Barabbas to go and kneel down before Pontius Pilate. Why? Because he can just consider that I would have been there on that mountain, being crucified now. But now I'm free. I can go back to my family and see my children and enjoy life. You know, you can't tell anything different to Barabbas. When it's time to go and worship that man, he will raise up early in the morning and go and worship. Amen. That's exactly how we should consider our salvation. And when we say praise God, we should really be saying it from the bottom of our hearts, praising God, considering where we should have been and what we are now. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your mercy, for your grace, for your love, for your kindness this morning. Considering, O Lord, that we were a condemned race, O Lord, we were people cursed, O Lord, but you came without us doing anything. But you said, I have done it. You just take your salvation. And that's why our hearts are so thankful this morning. That's why all our being is looking towards you, O Lord, and saying, praise the Lord. Saying, thank you, Lord, O Lord. Now take our worship, O Heavenly Father. If there's anything that can hinder you from listening to our prayers, O Lord, forgive us, Heavenly Father. And take now control of this full service today. Upstairs, our young ones in the Sunday school. Downstairs here, through worship, through song leading, through the preaching of the word, offerings and tithes, everything that will be done, O Lord. Let it be for your glory. Your children, we are still on the way coming. Keep and protect them, O Lord. And let all the glory be given glory to you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. How many are happy to be in his house this morning? Thank you for coming from far. Amen. Thank you for coming from far, from Carlo, from Limerick, from Banbridge, from most of the time we forget the people from Banbridge. We take it for granted, you know. God bless you for making it. Amen. So let's open our Bibles. We are going just to talk about our, you know, a small thought. It's not even, it's just something that came up to my mind. I just wanted to clarify something. And 2 Chronicles 20:20. 2 Chronicles 20:20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. If Sister Dash can give me those slides. There's just one question we want to answer there. Can a prophet lie? Amen. It seems a bit weird as a topic, you know. I think a few weeks back, Brother Sasha posted in the forum a short video. He apologized after that. It was a critic. I don't know if you saw it. It was a short YouTube video. Someone was, you know, criticizing the prophet for kind of not being sincere, not being honest. It was regarding that the resurrection of that boy in Finland. I don't know if many of you saw it. I don't think Brother Sasha had to apologize. For me, it was fine that he put it, he posted it like that, because these things, sometimes we don't have to avoid them. These things, sometimes we have to address them.
Glory.
So we know exactly where we stand. Because they come up with accusations, you know, Brother Branham lied, he said this, he was not honest, he was not sincere. He kept on changing the version of what, the same story. He would come this time saying this way, the other time saying it the other way. So just wanted to address this one, and we'll see, you know, if you know, if we say that Brother Branham lied, that's fine, you know. But scripture answers scriptures. Amen. Amen. So we are going to take it through the Bible, and I'm not going to conclude. It will be up to each one of us to see if it was a lie, if he was honest or not. But let's just put the evidence, okay? I'm not taking position for anyone. Let the scripture take position for itself. Amen. So that man started by giving this testimony. It was a written testimony of Brother Branham after that incident happened in Finland, 1950, I think. So Brother Branham starts speaking. He said, Brother Jack Moore picked him up. He's talking about that boy after the accident. I took this from that video. This is just screenshots I took from the video. Brother Jack Moore picked him up and brought him back into the car with us. We saw that he was dead. I looked at the little boy and thought I recognized him. Then I remembered that he was the little boy I seen in the vision, who was 8 or 10 years old, with light brown hair and was poorly dressed. I held him to my body and began to pray. Suddenly, his life came back to him. Arriving at the hospital, we were surprised to learn that the car had struck another little boy and had knocked him to the other side of the road. We had not seen him because he was hidden from our view, and another car had picked him and he rushed him to the hospital. After 2 days, he was still unconscious. That was Brother Branham's written testimony of that event. If you go through the video, this man is giving two other written testimonies of Brother Jack Moore and another brother, saying almost the same thing. You know, the written testimony was exactly the same from the three people. Then he goes back, he says, a few years later now, when Brother Branham started preaching, talking about the same event, he changed the version. You know, he says there was a few things that he added to the, and it was not obvious that these things from his written testimony and the other people's testimony, it was obvious that Brother Branham was not honest. That he was not telling the story as it was. It seems like he wanted to make himself big. This is in this sermon. There's many sermons, but I picked just this one. Oh my God. Oh God, get the church in that state. Let me stay in that place. I said, you know, he's talking about that very same testimony. I said, you speak right quick, Sister Isaac, interpret for me. I said, if the Lord God in a land of America, 2 years ago, here it is, wrote on these brothers, brothers' Bible leaf. See, if that little boy isn't on his feet alive in 5 minutes, I leave Finland with a sign on my back, false prophet. Then he kept on saying, I had them gathered. So the way Brother Branham is putting it in the sermon, it's as if there were a lot of people there. I heard them gather. I knelt down. Amen. You get this point. In the written testimony, that man says, He didn't say he knelt down. Even the other brethren, they didn't say he gathered people. But here, few years later, in his sermon, he's saying he knelt down. I said, Lord God, if you would like to get the detail of this from the mayor, he's even mentioning it here, the mayor. That's what that man says. In his written testimony, there was no mention of the mayor. There was no mention of him kneeling down. There was no all these things. If you want to get the details of this from the mayor, I'll give you his address. I said, Lord God, in the homeland you did speak of this vision, and I know in your great predestinated will, it's already finished. So death, give back this boy's life. And God, who is my solemn judge, before this Bible this afternoon, the little fella jumped to his feet. That man says, in the written testimony, there was no mention of the boy jumping to his feet. Just as normal as he was, hours before he got hit. Okay, I don't want to, I think this is, I wanted to lay this background. So that this man is saying, how can the same testimony that three people on a written statement said one thing, and then Brother Branham, few years back, as he kept on preaching on the topic, the version changed always. This time he'll say this, people were there, people were not there. And so in conclusion, that man said, the man was lying. He was not honest. So let's just go to the Bible. And that's why I say, if this is lie, I'll put evidence before you. You will tell me if what is in the Bible is lie, then this is also lie. Amen? So I leave the conclusion to each one of us. We know what happened to the Apostle Paul on the road of Damascus. I hear Brother David's voice, no? No. Oh, that, It's like him.
He's listening online.
Yeah, it may be that. You know what happened to Paul on the road of Damascus? His conversion. We know the story. Let's read it. I think it's Acts chapter 9, verse 3 to 7. I think we still have enough time to make this point. And then we let you go. Acts chapter 9 from verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly the shine round about him a light from heaven. You can take off the slide, sister. That's enough. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Verse 7. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Amen. So you get the story. It was Paul on the road of Damascus. A light struck, a voice spoke, and that voice said something. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus that you persecuted. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And the people that were around, they said, they heard the voice, but they didn't see anything. Amen? This is one story. It's the unique, it didn't happen twice, this story. It's the same story. Now let's go into Acts 22 and see Paul giving the account of the same story. Then if you tell me that Paul is a liar, then you'll draw your own conclusion. Acts chapter 22, from verse 6 to verse 9. Are you there? I want you to read with me because I don't want you to say it was my own version of the Bible. And it came to pass that as I made my journey, this is Paul now speaking. You know, he was defending himself when he was about to be sentenced to death. As I made my journey and was come nigh to Damascus, about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell onto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Full stop. Remember in Acts 9, after this sentence, there was another sentence. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. Amen? But here, it doesn't mention that. It's Paul giving account of the same event. Did Paul hear exactly that very voice that say, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks? Because a few years later, when Paul gives the account of the same story, it changes. Are you together? Next one, the most obvious one. Verse 9. And they that were with me saw indeed the light. Remember, in chapter 9, it says they didn't see anything. He said they just heard the voice. But here he said, And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake with me. Amen? Are you with me? So, who is telling the truth here? It's in the same Bible. The same version, the same story told in two different occasions. In chapter 9, it says the people heard the voice, but they didn't see. I'm going to read it again. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. In chapter 22, it says, And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. So who is lying here? Amen? Who is lying? So if what happened with Brother Branham is a lie, then here Paul also is a liar. It's logic. It's normal, understanding, thinking. Because Paul tell us now what happened exactly, we should even question if that story happened. Because if it was that same story, how come there you said the people, they didn't see, but they could hear? Here you said they could hear, but they didn't see. So they saw, but they didn't hear. So you see, Scripture answered scriptures. Amen. Let's take another example. There's many examples in the Bible. Matthew 10:23. Please take your Bible and go there because we don't want you to say it was that brother trying to defend a man. Matthew chapter 10. This is when Jesus was sending his disciples to go and to preach, sending them into mission. I'm going to read from verse 18. And they shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought of how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour when you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh into you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Verse 23, listen now. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Another version says, when you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Amen. This is Jesus himself talking to his disciple, telling them, I'll send you. You'll be persecuted. If they, you know, they chase you this town, go into another town. If they persecute you here, fly to another town. But you will not cover, you will not finish, you know, covering all the towns of Israel that the Son of Man is back. Amen. Amen. That was 2,000 years ago. So, was Jesus lying? Because they have, I don't know how many times they've done, you know, gone around the town of Israel. Someone could take the scripture saying that Jesus was lying. Are you with me? Amen. Jesus was lying because they've finished. You know, according to this, they wouldn't even have time to come to Ireland. The gospel couldn't even reach our countries in Congo, in Ghana, in Malaysia, whoever. Because even Israel is a very small country. They wouldn't even finish going through the towns of Israel that the Son of Man would be back. But the gospel is now there, down there in Vanuatu. You know where Vanuatu is? Even myself, I don't know. But the gospel is there. So was Jesus lying? So just few examples to show you. Let the scripture interpret scripture. If you want yourself to start pointing that he was lying, even Jesus himself, I was preaching here on Easter about how many days did Jesus lie in the tomb. Because if we go by the letter, Jesus was lying. He says, as Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale, so will the Son of Man stay 3 days and three nights. But this Jesus stayed 3 days and three nights, literally. Amen. Did he spend 3 days and three nights, literally, because he died on a Friday evening and rose up on a Sunday morning. Amen. So if you start to pointing, you know, you'll find out that was Jesus sincere. Amen. Even talking about his resurrection. Jesus kept changing his versions. Even Jesus himself. Here you go and read it yourself in the Bible. He said, after 3 days and three nights. Another place you'll find him saying, in 3 days. Another place you find him saying, on the third day. Grammatically speaking, it's different. Are you with me? After 3 days and three nights, and in 3 days, and on the third days, he keeps on changing his versions. So much that when the thing come to be accomplished, it happens after, you know, scientifically speaking, after maybe a day and a half or 2 days at the most. So there was so much confusion that we should put Jesus on the register of liars. Paul on the same register. Everybody on the same register. Amen. So that's why I told you, I don't want to draw conclusions myself. You take the scriptures. And if someone comes and tell you that Brother Branham was not sincere, he was lying, Because the same story, there's many places, there's many events that they are pointing many things. You know, here he says he was with his brother so. And there he says he was with another set of brothers. And so was he sincere? If it was the same events, how come he keeps changing the version of the events? My brother, Scripture interprets Scriptures. It is written, Jesus answered to the devil, by another it is written. It is written there. I can't explain it. I don't have an explanation to give you. Did he kneel down? I don't know. Was the mayor there? I don't know. But if that was a lie, Paul also was lying. Did the people see the light? Did the people hear the voice? What happened exactly? So I just wanted to draw our attention on these things because there's so many things out there, so many attacks out there, and you'll be one of these days, you'll face those people. They'll come and tell you, listen, your prophet is a liar. And Brother Sasha, if you can hear me, it was not a mistake that you posted that. It was important that this thing had to be spoken. And we need to address these things. You know, the strategy of avoiding confrontation is not good. Go and address the thing. And be equipped. Because sometimes, that's why we read in, let's read it again. 2 Chronicles 20:20, just to close, for a close. It says, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophet, so shall ye prosper. Amen. Don't doubt. Believe. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for giving us another opportunity this morning to speak about the things of the kingdom. Let them be established now in us, O Lord. Let us not be shaken by any wind, any storms, O Lord, but let us be established in the things we believe because we believe it is the truth, O Lord. Bless your people. Take now leadership. Bless the service, Heavenly Father, as we'll sing and praise you. Let us go beyond our bodies, O Lord. Let us be lifted up in the heavenly places, in the Lord Jesus, where we will see not our own needs, not our sorrows, our concerns, O Lord, but we will behold your face and realize exactly what you did for us, O Lord, and we'll worship you accordingly. O Lord, bless us as we commit everything into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.